Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a Wednesday edition of the show. I'm your host for the next 3 hours, the delightful Mandy Connell. Of course, Dave, the intrepid producer, is here as well. Hello, Dave.
Hello. I'm not quite as delightful.
Well, on occasion you can be. That was a little bit Eeyore right there. I'm not quite as delightful as you are.
Yes.
That's a little... I love Eeyore. Seriously, how he's like the best character in Winnie the Pooh, for real, because he's just angsty and emo all the time. I think it'll be okay. Loved him. I identified with him as a child. The newly married Antonius is here as well to push the buttons and make us sound good. At least try.
Also act as comic relief occasionally.
Yes.
Or the, what is it, the libtard, as I was called on the text line one day.
Oh, the libtard. See, now, I would not put you in
I love that insult. It's a funny sounding word.
Well, I prefer jacktard, just as a general rule. You know what I mean? Because I do not call people retarded, because that is a word that has been pushed aside and shelved because it's disparaging to developmentally disabled people. And I get that, but I love the word jacktard because it really kind of evokes this image of someone who's just an idiot, right?
It's strange how tard has become, what is it, a suffix now? It's like you don't use the offensive term retarded anymore, but you will call somebody a tard.
I don't do that. I call people, I add
or like,
to
yeah,
it.
You
I,
add
I
the
give
tard,
it some flourish.
Rather. Yes.
Give it a little oomph there. That being said, we have another, Dave, I have to say, you and I have put together some damn fine blogs over the last few weeks. We've been on fire on the blogs. And again, our blog is a gateway drug to the news. So if you have people that don't want to get in too deep, just tell them to go to mandysblog.com and I'll tell them everything they need to know for the day. Really, I'll give you all the high points and with snarky commentary. So really, it's the best of both worlds. Where can you find the blog? mandysblog.com. That's mandysblog.com. And then look for the headline that says Mandy's Wednesday Blog. There is some good energy in the Colorado GOP. Click on that and here are the headlines you will find within.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South America, all the ships and clippers at sea. Let's go to press flash.
Today on the blog, Christy Burton Brown wants to fire up Republicans. Don't be ugly to staff trying to follow dumbass rules. District attorneys are not happy with King Polis. Omicron has peaked in Denver and El Paso counties. Aurora Mayor Mike Kaufman is reintroducing an urban camping ban. A new pilot program to address school safety is being unfurled. Democrats don't care about bad tests that killed old people. Aspen parents are fighting the child mask mandate. Even Democrats don't like Joe Biden right now. If fast food restaurants were people, those free COVID tests the government is sending out, made in China. Unvaccinated people are less concerned about getting COVID. What's behind the sharp rise in intracranial infections? This is an incredible column on Trump and the future of the MAGA movement. Senator Ron Johnson held a COVID roundtable, and you should at least watch the highlights. Tech companies are offering products to combat anxiety. Does home housework or a 30-minute walk exhaust you? You could die soon. College students value free speech, but not too much. Idiot anti-Semites throw dumb flyers onto people's driveways. When it's really humid in the South, and if guns worked like they do in the movies, plus late edition, Justice Breyer is going to retire. Those are the headlines on the blog at mandysblog.com or koacolorado.com as well. So the last story I just added, it was a late edition. We just got news that Justice Stephen Breyer is going to retire at the end of this term of the Supreme Court. This is really kind of a nothing burger, except because he's a liberal, reliable liberal, has been for a very long time. So Joe Biden will replace him with another reliable liberal. But Dave said something right before we came on the air that I thought, what? But it could have. This could be his chance to get rid of Kamala. This could be his chance to get her and her anchor-like approval ratings off of his similar anchor-like approval ratings right now. That would be, surely they won't. I mean, come on.
You think she'll be on the short list? I mean, she's overqualified to be a Supreme Court justice. We know that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's overqualified for everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
There would be a revolution if she was nominated.
Yeah.
That ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
But we can dream.
Yeah, we'll see. Very funny videos on the blog today, I think. If guns work like they did in movies, and you know what? I've thought of this a million times. You can't get your bike lock undone. All you have to do is take out your gun and just shoot at the lock, and it'll just come right open. It's all so silly, but it's very funny in this video. And then, you guys, I'm going to Orlando this weekend. I'm going to a wedding, and it's supposed to rain the entire weekend. So there's literally a video of what I'm going to look like in Orlando. And it's called When It's Really Humid in the South. And this is 100% accurate. Antonius, did you watch it?
I have not watched it, but I was just going to comment about whenever I went back home in December, I stepped out of the airport and I immediately went, oh, what is this? Yes. I was like, why is my skin so sticky? This is disgusting.
Why am I damp? And this video is 38 seconds of a perfect explanation of what it's like on super humid days in the South. And, you know, I did a paper my freshman year in college about living in an un-air-conditioned dorm in Tallahassee, Florida in August. And my professor submitted it to a national comedy writing essay contest. And I did not win, but I just thought it was nice that he thought it was funny enough. And the whole thing was like getting ready for something. And this is true. Okay. So I'm in an unair conditioned dorm. And of course, it's your freshman year in college. So you're going to fun things and you want to look good. So we would blow dry our hair and then stick our head in the refrigerator that we had in our dorm room to try and cool off enough to actually put on makeup. Right. Because makeup, you can't put makeup on sweaty skin. It was like a 19-step process of getting ready that involved breaks of putting your face into the refrigerator because that was the only way you could do it. And he thought it was absolutely hilarious. And he thought I made it up. And I was like, no, that's just my day. That's just my day over there in that air-conditioned dorm. That's what you get for not signing up for a dorm in time, kids. Just saying. An air-conditioned dorm. Reynolds Hall.
Anytime I hear about makeup, all I could think of just being a woman is so tough.
You know what? Here's the great thing about getting older. I'm 52 now. My daughter, who's 12 and does not wear makeup, she's taken to watching these makeup videos, right? There's a girl who has a YouTube channel, which has millions of followers. She's making bank. Her whole shtick is that she sits in front of the mirror and applies really, she does a beautiful job, but she applies makeup while she tells some true crime story, okay? So you get the true crime story and you get to watch her put on this full face of makeup. Y'all, it takes her like an hour to do her makeup. And I was like, even when I was young and trying to hook up, it didn't take me an hour. This whole like multi-layer, multi-step, you got like blushy, you got stuff. I mean, my God, that's exhausting.
Oh yeah.
I'm 52. I don't care.
Takes Amara the same amount of time. I can get in a couple of rounds of video games while she does it. It's great.
Oh God, no. The joy of where I am now, especially after COVID, I just got ready for the show in 5 minutes. Like 5 minutes, I was done. It was awesome. Because I just don't care. Dave, yes.
Yeah, I watched The Five. They've got a new member of The Five now, Judge Jeanine, who I really like. But boy, does she have a lot of makeup, especially eye makeup. It's got to take her hours to get this that perfect. I mean,
her age, and you know, Judge Jeanine is not old, but she's also not young. You kind of get it down to a
science. She looks great.
Whatever it is you do.
She's 71.
Yeah, whatever it is you do, you got it down to a science. But my mom, who is 79, she spends about 35 minutes putting on makeup because she enjoys the process. She enjoys it. I've asked her, I'm like, why does this take you so long, Mom? And my mom's pretty and she looks great. But she's like, oh, I enjoy it. I just, you know, I sit and I just relax. And I was like, okay, more power to you.
You know, my brother used to, he nailed this whole situation. Once he told me, you know, David, women have to be beautiful. Men just have to be clean.
Yes. Correct.
And it's really true.
Absolutely correct. I mean, correct. You are absolutely right about that. So anyway, the humidity video is very funny. And then I have a video that someone sent it to me yesterday. Senator Ron Johnson had a roundtable discussion that went about 5.5 hours long. where he invited doctors, scientists from all over the world to come and sit down and talk about the COVID response that governments all over the world have mounted. And there is a, this is a 38 minute video. I never ask you to commit to more than like a couple minutes when it comes to a blog on the, or video on the blog. But I watched this morning, all 38 minutes of it. I am going to watch all 5.5 hours of that Ron Johnson video, because there's information coming from doctors about the way that they have been penalized from government for even suggesting an alternative to the very expensive treatments being pushed by the drug companies. And it is shocking. I mean, I know, and I, again, am vaccinated, and I think that the vaccines have been a net positive for our entire country. I do believe that they keep most people from getting really sick. I believe in these things, but I also recognize that things like ivermectin, which is not a horse dewormer, it is not a horse dewormer. It is a medication that has been used on human beings for the longest time. That hydrochloroquine, which has helped a lot of people, it's been shut down in this country because those drugs are generic and drug companies cannot make a lot of money. And when you start looking at, when you hear some of the things that these are professional doctors, and it's just, it's awful. And so I'm going to go back and watch the whole 5.5 hours, but I would urge you to commit to the 38 minutes at least, because some of the information shocked me. And I feel like I am extremely well-read when it comes to COVID and things of that nature. Some of the things shocked me, literally. Yes, Dave.
Yeah, I didn't watch the whole thing yet, but I did watch part of it. And there was one doctor who said, I make up prescriptions for these things and the pharmacies won't
Correct.
Fill them.
Because they're all being threatened with having their licenses pulled. It's not that they're just philosophically opposed. It is they are being told by the boards that license them, if you fill this prescription, you are going to have your livelihood taken away from you. You know, for people on the left who love to talk about abortion in the terms of how dare you get between your doctor and a woman? How dare you get between that relationship? They have upset that apple cart to a point where doctors are not allowed to make decisions for their patients that they believe are in the best interest of the patients they are serving. One of the women that's on the panel, her father died Friday because they wouldn't give him any treatments. I mean, it's insane, you guys. And this just happened a couple days ago. So at least watch this 30-minute video. At least. Because at this point, here's the thing. I don't think anyone who is unvaccinated is going to get vaccinated at this point. Do you? I mean, anybody's going to be convinced at this point with Omicron being so much less?
The only possibility are those family members who have a family member who is anti-vax who dies.
Yeah, maybe
those
them.
People perhaps can be moved yeah. to get vaccinated at this point.
So I'm ready to have conversations about what's not been said about the vaccines, what's not been said about adverse reactions. But I also have an article on the blog today about, I kind of mentioned this the other day, and I went back and found the article because I think it's very interesting. So there is kind of a conversation happening among neurosurgeons and neurologists that they are seeing skyrocketing rates of intracranial infections, including brain abscesses on children. Why? They speculate three things: the vaccine, masking, and the swabs being shoved up people's noses. It's very interesting. And this is, there's no conclusions, by the way. They're not blaming anything. All they're saying is, we need to research this more. And I could not agree more. If we don't learn from everything we've done during this pandemic by looking back and really investigating it, then we have lost an opportunity to do better in the next pandemic. Right? And I'm afraid that politics is going to prevent us from doing that. Let me check in. Who's in the newsroom for me today? Is it Tom or David? Who's in there today? Hello, David. Kale.
Hello,
what do you got,
Mandy.
For me?
How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good. Very bright, sunny day out there. And coming up in a few minutes, U.S. Supreme Court justice is going to hang up the robes. Also, Omicron may have reached its peak in Colorado. We'll have that and more coming up in the news at 12:30.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back. We are joined, and I forgot to promo that you were coming on the air, but one of the stories on the blog today is that Aurora Mayor Mike Kaufman is going to reintroduce legislation or an ordinance that would ban urban camping on public and private property in Aurora. And this is something he's been trying to get done for some time. But with the flip of city council, it looks like there's a chance. And Mayor Mike Kaufman from Aurora is joining us now to talk about it. Mayor, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mandy.
So tell me about this. Tell me what you're planning, why you're planning it. Let's talk.
Well, first of all, based on the city charter, when you lose a proposal, which I did in August, you have to wait a minimum of 6 months before you can bring it back. So it will come back on the 7th of September. The 7th of February in what's called a study session for purposes of debate. And then it will come up for a vote on the 14th of February. So I'm pretty optimistic about its passage, given the change in terms of the political dimensions of our city council. So I'm looking forward to implementing a camping ban in the city of Aurora.
What does this particular camping ban look like? Because, and I'm lay the table here, one of the problems with an urban camping ban is that a federal judge ruled that cities cannot ban urban camping unless they have shelter beds available, which I could argue that that's preposterous, but here we are. So how does your proposed ban work within those parameters?
Sure. Well, there's notice provision, so we have 7 days notice. There's case law that says you have to provide them an alternative location, not necessarily shelter beds, but an alternative location. And so we have we'll have safe camping areas. We may have some what's called pallet homes, but it will be an area that will be away from neighborhoods, away from businesses. Obviously, if we have some warehouse industrial area, that would be appropriate if there were space there, and certainly away from schools. And so I think it's just absolutely critical to do this. We've had a fairly significant increase in urban camping over the last 3 years. And there's just the filth, the lack of sanitation, and property crime associated with these encampments. And so it's something that we really need to do as a city.
Mayor, you did something that I thought was fascinating. You completely unaccompanied and without any fanfare, there was no cameras on you the whole time, you lived on the streets as a homeless veteran. So I feel like you have probably better insight than most politicians, if not all. What did that teach you that led you to the belief that this is the way forward for Aurora?
Sure. Well, first of all, there are shelters that are set up, and then there's the encampment population. And the two never mix. I mean, I thought that was really stunning when I was on the street, that those populations never cross over. And so the people that are the economic casualties, particularly in COVID, in the pandemic, you had public health officials saying, don't have somebody who is not a relative in your house. Well, what that did is that displaced a lot of people that clean houses that were no longer than had an income, no longer able to pay their rent. They wound up in shelters, not in encampments, but in shelters. So economic casualties are there. A lot of people in shelters that are chronically homeless, have drug and alcohol issues, some people with mental health problems. But in the encampment problem is largely a myth problem. And it is to see these young people, shoot up and they were smoking in glass pipes is incredible. Certainly some heroin as well. But that distinction is really important because I think the advocates for the homeless, I would say, and I certainly consider myself one of them, but advocates for the status quo in terms of the homeless to protect them in the encampments will say that that, you know, these are people that are economic casualties, economic refugees. That simply is not true.
So is Aurora, you were talking about having a place for people to go. Is that something that you guys are looking at expanding to cover yourself? I mean, let's be real. You want to help people, but you have to deal with this ruling. So you have to kind of cover all these bases about making sure that you have a place for people to go or people to set up. But do you think that the urban and urban camping ban in Aurora will be enough to discourage those permanent drug addicted and campers from remaining in Aurora? And it sounds terrible. It sounds terrible. No, do you think they're just going to shift over to Denver? And at that point, it's no longer your problem, which you've done something. I'm just saying.
So I think two things. I think number one, the fact is that we have outreach teams that go to these encampments every single week and ask them, you know, they provide a laundry list of services for them. And usually, rarely are they taken up on services. And so we have places for them to go right now that they don't go to. We just, CDOT, Colorado Department of Transportation, along I-225 corridor, we had a lot of encampments there along the, you know, Mississippi, Colfax area, those intersections. We worked with CDOT to have them abated, to have them cleaned up. And I think out of 25, I think about four people wanted, actually, they didn't take, they ended up taking the shelter. They ended up leaving the state, going to Arizona. The fact is, there's a lot of things we can try and do. We can try to reunite them with their families. Oftentimes, they become very isolated and try and reunite them with their families. We have a lot of things we can offer them. But the notion that we have to have on day one, that we have to have shelter for all the people that are living in a campus, is simply not true. First of all, most of them aren't going to take us up on it. And secondly, certainly those who do will accommodate. But an alternative location doesn't necessarily mean a shelter building. It could also mean a safe camping, and it could also mean their tent in a safe camping environment. But we can provide sanitation services, we can provide clean water, and we can provide other services as well for them.
But you intend to take it out of the middle of the city. You intend to make it something that is not, and here's my issue with Denver's safe sites right now. I had an article yesterday where from the collective village, or the village collective that runs these, they're going to serve 370 people, and they hope to get 90 people out off the streets. That's less than 25%. That is not a standard that I think we should look to and think, okay, we should emulate that. I mean, are there going to be more enforcement mechanisms, or is there going to be an effort to enforce the sort of nuisance crime laws that are on the books right now? We've heard some terrible stories out of Union Station of people shooting up and sex acts in public and all of this stuff. Are you going to crack down on that at the same time? Because I got to tell you, I'm of the mindset that until it becomes uncomfortable to live by choice on the streets, people are going to continue to do it.
So I think the big thing is to push staff to follow the ordinance once it's enacted, because there is the people will say, oh, well, they're just moved to another location. But the reality is you've disrupted them and what they were doing, and you had an opportunity to clean it up.
Right.
And if they're disrupted enough, maybe they figure out maybe Aurora, Colorado is not the place to be. Maybe there are some other communities that are more hospitable to that lifestyle.
It's time to get out of this lifestyle.
It's time to get out. That would be the big thing. But let me tell you this. When I was homeless for a week, experiencing homelessness for a week, and I, you know, particularly in the encampments, and people were hard to talk to because they're very suspicious of anybody from the outside because of the activities that they do, that I never ran across somebody who says, you know, I really want out of here.
Yeah,
I really want to get a job. I really want to be able to have my own apartment. I just didn't see that. Well, in fact, didn't see a whole lot of it in the shelters either. But certainly more of it there, particularly for those people that I mentioned that are the economic casualties because of the pandemic or for other reasons. All those people really have a path. They utilize the shelter system because to save money to get their own place back. But they want to go to work.
Right.
They want to go to work. And it's amazing to meet people that have been chronically homeless for a long time that have absolutely, they would rather be standing on a street corner.
Yeah.
Panhandling. Of course, the big goal in life is to get on Social Security and disability.
Sure.
But they'd rather be there than be working. And I, you know, it just really shocks me. But one of the reasons why the encampment people don't like to go to shelters, even when offered, is because of the fact that they're supervised right. in those settings. And the on-demand drug use that they do is curtailed.
Dave had something for you. Mayor Mike Coffin is our guest.
Yeah, back in the day, Bob Cote of Step 13, sure. he used to have these coupon books. And each one would say, this is good for one meal. All you have to do is come down and be exposed to Step 13 and what they offer.
Sure.
He, over the years, had about 100,000 of these things distributed around.
Wow.
He said, I remember him saying he got about six of them returned.
Oh, yeah.
And that just illustrates the attitude of these people that don't want services.
Sure. Well, I think what was shocking, you know, unfortunately, I was not able to stay. I stayed in a shelter in Aurora, but not a homeless encampment. Because the one that I had wanted to go to that I went to had been abated right before I got there. So, but I did stay in homeless encampments and shelters in Denver. And what amazed me is that, you know, well-meaning people literally would bring out food, more food than I can eat when I was staying in the encampments in Denver. Well, I stayed one for several days, I think two nights, 3 days in one. But people would just bring out food. I was just shocked about the, you know, it's the generosity of people. Although the only problem is they are sustaining a very dangerous lifestyle for these young people.
Mike, that has been a big frustration for me because I have friends that do this and they are the biggest hearted people in the entire world, but they don't see that they are enabling someone to live like a feral animal. And that's what this is.
Right.
You know, when we have people living in tents with no running water, no access to toilets, they're living like feral animals. And I don't see how anything done to support that is a positive. You know, I just don't. And I'm super frustrated. I do think it's interesting that, especially in the Denver Metro, we are now seeing neighborhoods organize because of these issues. Are you seeing the same things in Aurora as well?
I'm sorry, in terms of organizing?
Are people beginning to organize in Aurora? That is because they're organizing in Denver because the Denver Metro is not doing anything about the situation
in opposition,
yes.
The ground has really shifted. Mm-hmm. I remember certainly the majority supported, I think, that, you know, in terms of communications that I would get from residents, the majority certainly before the camping ban. It's overwhelming now, this time that I'm bringing up. People are they're fed up with the filth. They're fed up with the unsanitary conditions and all the trash. And they are fed up with the property crimes associated with a number of these folks in our community. And so I think that people just had enough.
Yeah.
They just had enough. And I, you know, I think we need to be compassionate, you know, to these people in this situation, whether we agree, disagree. But at the same time, you know, we have to be fair to the taxpayers of our city, that the residents who get up every morning and go to work, whether they want to or not, and share in the adult responsibilities of life that, you know, these people have just totally abandoned. I will say that there are people that are mentally ill out there.
Yeah.
I think the difference is in the people that are camping, they tend to be isolated, alone, and they lead wretched, horrible lives. And that's a sad thing that there's not, if they're not a harm to themselves or somebody else, and they're mentally ill. I mean, schizophrenic. Now the advocates, the so-called advocates for the homeless, will say everybody's mentally ill. Well, that's just not true. You know, I mean, a lot of people are drug addicted. I don't classify that as a mental illness.
But
it's a terrible situation.
I have a family member whose son was diagnosed with schizophrenia at 19 ended up dead at 26 with a heroin needle in his arm. How is that compassion? My issue here is that everybody talks about compassion, but I don't think we've clearly defined what compassion is. And in my mind, compassion is not enabling people to live on the streets, whether they are mentally ill or not. It's not compassionate. And I think that's an important point we need to make.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult. I mean, for the people that are mentally ill, I mean, I really do feel sorry for them. We're going to have to, the camping ban will apply to them. We hope that they'll accept treatment. If they don't accept treatment, there's nothing we can't force them into treatment, even though that there are drugs that would stabilize their behavior in the case of schizophrenia. But they have to be willing to take them.
And I will tell you that as a family member, there's nothing you can do when someone becomes an adult. And that, I'm a libertarian. I never want to infringe on someone's civil liberties in any way, shape, or form. But my argument at this point in time, based on my lived experience, is that people who are severely detached from reality cannot be responsible for themselves. And that is something that we're going to have a conversation about going forward. Mayor Mike Kaufman, so this is going to come up on the 6th. What kind of time frame would you expect on this before you could reasonably see it enacted?
Oh, I think we're going to try and enact it right away.
Oh, good.
And we're not going to, you know, I mean, there might be a little bit of time for staff to gear up. But the fact is we're doing some abatements now. The difference is that it is staff, i.e. unelected bureaucrats, that make that decision about whether or not a particular encampment should be abated or not. This doesn't leave it up to them.
Right.
This just says unauthorized camping is unauthorized camping, and we just want to be done with it. And, you know, let's move forward with this.
All right. That's Aurora Mayor Mike Kaufman. Thank you for your time. And I'm sure we'll talk again when you get sued.
We will get sued. I'm looking at the case law right now. I'm prepping up.
Yeah, because that's going to happen. But here's hoping that finally Aurora can demonstrate how to handle this problem, because what we're doing in other areas is not working.
And there's a Councilman Sundberg who's new, and he's going to put forward a proposal for these coupon books and things like that that people can buy to provide services, as opposed to giving them cash on the street corner. And we want to do we're going to go in a work first direction, and so we feel that we want to, for people, whether in the emergency housing or whatever they're in, we want to get them to work.
All right. That's Aurora Mayor Mike Kaufman. Thank you for your time today, Mayor. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's check in with David Kale, find out what's happening in his news. What do you got for me, David?
Okay. Thanks, Mandy. The U.S. Supreme Court will have a vacancy later this year, and Boulder takes another step in the Marshall Fire cleanup. Those stories and more in the news coming up at 1 o'clock here on KOA.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the second hour of the show, and the great guest cavalcade continues. Christy Burton Brown was elected chair of the Colorado GOP. And I told her off the air that she has been, and her team have been, very energizing to the Republican Party in Colorado. And I'm pleased to have Christy on the show now. Christy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mandy. Great to be with you.
So first of all, I have to ask, you are a relatively young woman, and why in the world would you want to take over this job in a state where Republicans have not exactly been getting it done over the last 10 years?
Sure. That's a great question. I am young. I'm the youngest Republican chairman ever in Colorado. And I think what's important is that people in our generation, I'm a millennial, stand up and talk about what we actually believe in and be excited to be a Republican and say the future in Colorado would be better if Republicans could focus on prioritizing public safety, expanding educational choice, and making Colorado affordable. Those are the things our party stands for. And I just think this is the perfect year to go out there to win seats and to get it done. And I think my team can do it.
So what are the, and you were mentioning that is the commitment to Colorado, which I think is a great idea. You guys had a press conference where you announced those three priorities, but what do those priorities look like in practice? Or have you guys started to dig down and talk about what policy might look like to do those things?
Absolutely. Yes. We have to have concrete solutions. When voters, especially the swing voters, are looking at electing Republicans, what they want to see is someone they can trust who's a problem solver, a trusted problem solver. And so it's not just about rhetoric. It's about actual plans. Mm-hmm. Our Republicans in the state legislature, House and Senate, banded together. They actually released a 44-bill package that are 44 actual bills that are running this session that show what they would do to make the state more affordable, to prioritize public safety, and to expand educational choice. So I think that package illustrates exactly what Republicans would do. And you also see a number of our candidates running all the way from statewide down to legislative seats, also campaigning with their own solutions to these issues.
This is one of my pet peeves, I guess you can say, is I talk to a lot of candidates, and there are candidates that I talk to that are so devoid of anything concrete that I can't take them seriously. And sometimes they get elected, which really irritates me. But I'm glad to see a focus on real solutions, because I do think, especially your generation, Christy, like the younger people, they're not looking for platitudes. They're more hip to that. Yeah. They want to know how you're going to solve their problems that they're having right now. Let's talk about housing. Let's start with housing for a minute, because this is a huge issue. We see the city of Denver is about to pour millions and millions of dollars into something that is allegedly going to deal with the affordable housing issues. What kind of solutions do Republicans bring to the table on that front?
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's a number of solutions to housing, and you're right. Everywhere I travel in the state, people say that's like one of the number one issues. Teachers can't move into communities that need teachers because they can't even rent a house, much less buy one.
Yeah.
And it's Western Slope, Eastern Plains, literally everywhere in Colorado. And so Republicans are running a number of bills on that in the legislature. One would provide tax credits or tax write-offs to people who rent areas of their home. One also helps both the renters and the landlords who were hurt during COVID by government policies. It's a lot about like tax write-offs. I mean, we're big on cutting taxes, letting people save and keep their own money. And then also part of it is reforming some of the building codes and things in Colorado that just clog up the supply. There's not enough houses in Colorado for the people that want to buy them. So I know, and I do let our legislators speak to their exact plans. They're the ones who are supposed to get in the weeds. I help set the more overarching message, but people should go look at that 44 bill proposal. A number of them deal exactly with housing.
Where can we find that? Because I look at the news every day and I've seen it nowhere. So where can I find that? So if I can't find it, other people can't find it. If you email it to me, I will put it on my blog and let people have an easy place to go find it, because I haven't seen it anywhere. Yeah. So
it's on the Colorado Senate Republicans website, actually.
Okay.
And I will absolutely email you the link, but that's where it is, Colorado Senate Republicans. And they have all 44 bills listed out. People can track them. They can read the bills. They can see when they're introduced, who the sponsors are. It'd be great if people go down and testify at the Capitol in support of some of these bills.
Dave has a question for you, Christy.
Yeah, that is so important. As we saw a few days ago during Biden's press conference, he asked the question, what are Republicans for? We know what they're against. What are they for? Well, this is going to answer that question. And that's terrific.
Exactly. And it's ColoradoSenateRepublicans.com.
Okay.
You go there, you'll see it. You can do the /commitment if you want to go to the exact page. But yeah, it's all over there. Easy to sort through, easy to read.
I'm shocked that Kyle Clark didn't cover it on Nine News, because he usually gives so much coverage. Actually, gives a ton of coverage for you, Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
He's like obsessed with Republican women. It's comical. It's almost weird and comical, but I'm sure you take it as a badge of honor to be targeted.
Indeed. We all know what AOC would say if she was being targeted in the same way by a Republican man.
Are you saying Kyle wants to sleep with you? Is that what you're saying right now? No, that's what AOC
said. I will
said.
Not go there, because I don't like that kind of rhetoric. And, you know, I think he's not really taken a serious look at our policy proposals. Mm-hmm. He has an image, I think, in his head of what it means to be a Republican, and he's wrong. He's not open to listening to a new kind of Republican, like what we're doing here in Colorado, proposing real solutions for real issues. He just has an image he wants to have in his mind, and I wish he would shake that.
Christy, I'm going to ask you this question, because this was a great area of frustration for me when it happened. the Democrats in the legislature came up with a nonsense, stupid, non-binding resolution that, in my view, was simply designed to goad Republican lawmakers into going on the record with something unpopular, and the Republican lawmakers fell for it. And this frustrated me to no end because there was no reason to engage on that stuff. How much time do you spend kind of dealing with the part of the Republican Party that is still dedicated to Trump and not willing to kind of move forward? And I know you've been very clear. I follow you on Twitter, and you're very clear that you want the Republican Party to look forward. Looking back does not help us. Why can we? It has to be frustrating for you too.
Well, you know, I mean, it's one of the hallmarks, I think, of being a Republican. We have a lot more independent thinkers than the Democrats do. They love to just jump in line, do what they're told. And sometimes, sure, I'm sure Republicans think, oh, I wish we'd all do that too. But the beauty of being a Republican is that we actually have more thinkers in our party, actually people who have independent thoughts. And sometimes that means we're not all on the same page. And I think it's actually at its root a good thing. But what we do need to do is have more message discipline in our party about the things that actually matter in 2022. As I've been traveling the state and talking to people who are hardcore Trump supporters still, I campaigned for him in 2020. All Republicans did. His policies are light years better than what Joe Biden is doing to wreck the country right now. But the fact remains, he's not our president. Joe Biden is. And 2022 is a Colorado-centric year. We have to talk about the local issues that are affecting people on their day-to-day lives. And that is actually resonating. I have to go out and talk to Republicans about it, but the Colorado-centric focus is really resonating with all kinds of people in our party.
Well, I feel like a lot of people that were maybe, and I'm going to put, I would think most, a lot of independents fall into the category that I'm about to say. I think that a lot of people have kind of just been paying attention to things tangentially because they kind of felt like it's far away, government doesn't really affect me. And then COVID came and all of a sudden the government shut everything down and Jared Polis gave edict after edict after edict. And they were like, wait a minute, this isn't how it's supposed to work, right? Do you feel like that's an opportunity for Republicans to say, look, if you did not enjoy totalitarian oppressive government, we don't do that. I mean, it's a selling point that I think is hard in a normal year, but maybe would make people go, you know what, it has kind of sucked here. Instead of being in Florida, where Ron DeSantis has pretty much let people make their own choices. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, I agree with you. I think I just talked about one of the hallmarks of being a Republican, being an independent thinker. But one of the hallmarks of being a Coloradan is to be that pioneer spirit. Let us govern our lives. Let us make our choices, whether it's for our kids in our school, our small businesses staying open, or, you know, the choices about what we want to do with our own medical choices. That's a hallmark of being a Coloradan. And I think the Democrat Party has taken us so far away from that and said, you will do this. And Jared Polis, you know, has extended his emergency powers so far that, yes, the average voter on the street, suburban moms like me, are tired of being told what to do and their lives controlled by their government every step of the way. So, yes, it's a perfect year for us to expose that and say it is time to bring back balance to Colorado. One party control that Democrats have is ruining our state.
Well, and you know, to that point, I think that the Republicans got bounced out of office unjustly, some of them, in the last election cycle because too many people in Colorado hated Donald Trump. He did not poll well. He's got his passionate supporters. He doesn't poll well here. And I really think that it was a straight ticket punishment message on Donald Trump. Do you feel like that we can make up some of that ground in this 2020? The midterms are shaping up to be, at least on paper, potentially fantastic at the federal level. But are we going to get a trickle down on that here in Colorado?
Yes, Mandy, I think we are. And for a number of reasons. One, exactly what you said. This election isn't going to be so federalized by who, you know, a Republican president is, that who did not play well in Colorado. People looked at his personality instead of his policies. And we're not going to have that issue. People are looking at a Democrat president who is failing, who's at 18% approval in a poll that was released 2 days ago. So very troubling for the Democrats, good for the people of Colorado. And I think, you know, in addition to being able to localize it and talk about Colorado and what matters to our state, the redistricting maps were actually surprisingly very, very fair and allow us to pick up the state Senate, allow us to win seats in the state House and win a couple congressional seats that we don't currently have here in Colorado, because the Democrats' gerrymandering was gotten rid of by the commission. So I think for a lot of reasons, and Michael Bennett, only 26% name ID after being senator for 13 years. That is bad.
Christy,
we have a lot of candidates who could defeat him.
If we don't beat Michael Bennett, we should just pack it up and go home, because that guy is the useless Michael Bennett. That's what I call him every time, because he, when you ask about his track record of success, and there's air quotes around that, it is the shortest track where nothing exists. There's literally nothing he has done for this state since he has been in the U.S. Senate. Nothing. I mean,
no.
Nothing. All he did was grab Cory Gardner's coattails on all of the good stuff Cory Gardner did, and yet Corey's gone, Hick is in, also useless to date. So we have to beat Michael Bennett.
Yeah, Hick and Lieber just likes to go up to D.C. and drink, and Michael Bennett likes to live in D.C. and not represent Colorado. He is on the agricultural community. Ask rural committee. Ask rural Colorado what Michael Bennett has done for them. Absolutely nothing. He is a city slicker. He does not represent half of Colorado, but he sits on that committee. And then he's on an intelligence committee and sat by and was literally vacationing in Glenwood Springs while Afghanistan was going on. He had to remove a tweet when we actually pointed it out that he was tweeting about vacationing in Glenwood Springs while Afghanistan and Americans were being left there. So he is absolutely useless, does nothing for Colorado, has passed one bill that he sponsored in 13 years.
I'm surprised that he didn't just chastise you for amplifying his comments about vacation, as recently occurred with the and I'm going to call this is a success. OK, Ellen Kessler, an animal rights activist that was put on the veterinary board, even though she had no qualifications for that role, was forced to step down after her nasty comments about ranchers were widely publicized by Republicans after she put them on the First Gentleman's Facebook page. This wasn't a secret email. This was not like her diary that someone stole. She put him on Facebook, for criminy's sake. And yet the governor's spokesperson, Connor Cahill, said he was really upset that Republicans amplified negative comments about ranchers, while not ever explaining whether or not the governor agreed with those comments or not. Is this just indicative of how Jared Polis has used his office to pay back friends and friends of his husband?
Yeah.
I mean,
without a doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what's interesting, Mandy, is that along with that statement that Connor Cahill made, blaming Republicans for repeating and exposing the statements his appointee made, calling farmers and ranchers lazy and nasty. I grew up in rural Colorado. That's an insane statement to make. Well, in the same statement, Polis declined to even comment on whether or not that was an unprofessional comment from his appointee. So he blames Republicans for exposing what his appointee says and refuses to even acknowledge that at the very least it's unprofessional. And I could use a whole lot of other words to describe that beyond unprofessional, but the governor won't even go that far. That's crazy.
So, Christy, I want to ask this because yesterday there was a story about Republicans asking for an audit of the COVID testing no-bid contract that Jared Polis put in place. $90 million of Coloradans' tax money was given to a friend of Jared Polis, a young guy who had absolutely no experience in the testing industry, and the test kits turned out to be garbage. So they just said, we want to investigate, because, by the way, these test kits were sent to nursing homes, and people thought they didn't have COVID. People died because of that choice, right? I mean, there's no two ways around it. When you see stuff like that, and it was completely shot down on a party line vote, and they said, no, we're not even going to investigate. That is a perfect example. When people get mad at Republicans in Colorado because of the way things are going, with the current counts in the Senate and the House, can they stop anything?
No, not without Democrat participation. And you're right that their job this year, the Democrats, they want to cover for themselves.
Yep.
And the nursing home rate death in Colorado in November and December of 2020 was the highest in the nation because of this scandal that Jared Polis had. And conveniently, I'll point out that Dylan Roberts, who's a state rep from Eagle County, he's running for one of the very competitive Senate seats this year in Northwest Colorado. He was supposed to be on that committee and take that vote on whether or not to audit what Jared Polis did on COVID in nursing homes. He stepped off the committee about an hour beforehand, had another Democrat vote in his place because he doesn't want to be on record with the people of Northwest Colorado of opposing an audit that people deserve into nursing homes, because he's trying to win the competitive seat and we're going to slam him on this and we will beat Dylan Roberts because he's hiding from his own party's record and the awful things they've done.
Christy Burton Brown is the chair of the GOP. Christy, let's make this a regular thing.
Thank you, Mandy.
I'd love to have you on a regular basis. I'd love to have the chair of the Democratic Party on, but they won't return our calls. So, you know, you'll just have to do. Christy, I really appreciate everything you've brought and the energy that you have brought. I mentioned before, a lot of people who were just casual Republicans are now fully engaged. And a lot of your team, your staff, the people that are out there doing outreach around the state are doing a really good job. And I got to tell you, it's been really, really encouraging to watch. So keep up the good work.
We will. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That's Christy Burton Brown with the Colorado GOP. We will speak to her going forward, of course. But now let's check in with David Cale, find out what's coming up in the news.
Okay. Thank you, Mandy. Yesterday's snow, of course, was good for moisture along the Front Range. It was a lot better way out on the Eastern Plains. And a Supreme Court justice retiring. We'll have those stories coming up in the news at 1:30 here on KOA.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I like this song. This bounce back. There you go. Lots and lots of stuff on the blog that we have not gotten to, but I have to make a comment. You guys know I think masks are stupid and they do nothing. And that I have been mounting my own private anti-mask protests when I go into places in Denver and they ask me to wear a mask and I politely decline and say, I'm not participating in that. But if they followed up and said, no, I really need you to put a mask on, do you know what I would do? I would turn around and say, okay, I'll be back when that's over. I'll just come back when we can all be reasonable and you don't ask me to put a face diaper on my face. That is not happening at the Children's Museum in Denver. This story, and I don't know the details, but the Children's Museum, which is a delightful place to visit if you have little kids, I mean little kids, because the older kids are, the less they'll be entranced by all of these things, but it's a great Children's Museum. They have now closed their doors through February 4th. Why? Because angry parents are screaming at their staff about the mask mandate, which they are forced to enforce because Denver requires it. That's where we are right now. We have adults taking their children to the Children's Museum and screaming at staff because their children have to wear a mask. First of all, if you're going to anything in Denver, a mask is going to be required. Some stores enforce it, some don't. The Children's Museum obviously takes it seriously because it's children. But ultimately, parents are showing their asses in front of their children because they don't like not being able to go to the Children's Museum until the mask mandate is over. This is insanity. This is the same. I feel the same way about this as I feel about the nasty people on airplanes screaming at flight attendants who have no control over the fact they have to enforce a stupid mask mandate that the federal government has in place. Just stop. You know, I have to fly tomorrow, Dave, so I have to wear a mask. And I've made that decision because that's my only option. I can't drive to Orlando. And because I'm going to be on an airplane, I'm going to be wearing a mask. It's stupid, but I'm doing it because that's what's required in that situation. Or I can choose to drive to Orlando, which is not feasible. So you know how much I'm going to complain about wearing the mask tomorrow to the flight attendant? Zero. None. Not one single time, because it is not their fault. Stop yelling at people who can't control anything. Yes, Dave.
I feel the same way about the arts in Denver. I love the arts. I love opera. I love plays. I love music. And during the pandemic, we've been denied a lot of that stuff. Well, a lot of it's reopened now, however, with mask mandates.
Yeah.
And I was excited to see the Opera Colorado new season. There were a couple of things I wanted to go to, a lot of plays at the DCPA I wanted to attend, and mask mandates. I refused to spend 3 hours in a mask at a performance. So I reluctantly said, I'm just not attending. But right. I'm not going to go there and argue and yell at these people.
Correct. Make the choice before you get there.
Yes.
And if you get there and someone follows up and says, I'm sorry, you have to wear a mask, don't kill the messenger. People have gotten, there was a column that we shared a couple days ago about how uncivil we've all become. Mm-hmm. And how we have to do something. And I'm telling you, mask wearing has made us all horrible people. Horrible people. You know how I know? Because there have been times when someone did something and behind my mask, I was like, blankety, blankety, blank, 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 because they couldn't see my mouth moving. Right? I didn't say it to them. I'm not a curse people out type person. I'm just really not. Unless you do it to me first, and then all bets are off. But I really think that this kind of stuff, what are we teaching our children? First of all, our children have been the victims in all of this. So if you're taking your kids to the Children's Museum or anywhere else, don't you think it's incumbent upon you to find out what the rules are where you're going? Yes, it is. And if you don't want to wear a mask and don't want to mask your children, then don't go there until this is over. Don't go there. It's really not complicated.
And I think it's incumbent upon parents who make these decisions ahead of time to explain them to their kids.
Yes.
Why they're not going to a certain place and the choice they've made and why they've made it, but don't abuse those who are just enforcing the rules.
It's a learning opportunity where you can share your value system with your children and talk
exactly.
about how when you stand up for your principles, sometimes you have to make sacrifices, right?
Mm-hmm.
The notion that somebody should be able to stand up for their principles and need to be nasty is so antithetical to me. It's not even funny, because as soon as you do that, you make your principles less attractive to whoever you're yelling at. I mean, if you want to convince people and you want to make them understand why you believe the way you do, because you think it's the best way to go. The worst way to spread that kind of principle juju is to scream at people who may be open to hearing what you have to say. And this is just incredibly, incredibly disappointing. Just incredibly disappointing. And I think masks are stupid. So I feel you. I get you. But you cannot go around screaming at people who don't deserve it. So now the Children's Museum is... Now, you notice they're closed till February 4th, which is when the mask order is supposed to end, right? The mask order in Denver is supposed to end in February 3rd, I think. Pretty sure February 3rd. I should double check that, but very soon. And what are they going to do if they re-up it?
What are the expectations for that? Are we going to reinstitute it, keep it going, or are we going to show some intestinal fortitude and say, no, we've had enough?
Well, Omicron is already on the wane in Denver. It's already dramatically fallen off a cliff, just like it has done everywhere else. It has done the exact same thing in Colorado and Denver that it has done everywhere else. It has ripped through our community at lightning speed, and it's already on the way down. So I don't see the need, but we'll see. Yes, Antonius?
I also do not see the need for a mandate, because there are plenty of people that are voicing how they would be content to go on wearing masks outside for the rest of their existences.
Sure.
And they are, and there are some people who are probably going to do that. So why we need to mandate it, I don't get.
Because the people that are wearing masks so they can virtue signal want to force everyone else to make their choice too. That's ultimately what it comes down to.
But then no one can see how much better they are than, you know, us people that don't want to mask up all the time.
Well, Antonius, I don't know if you know who David Hogg is. He's this obnoxious kid who has managed to parlay his victimhood in the Parkland shootings in Florida, which I'm not downplaying his victimhood in that. He was in the school when this happened. He's now turned it into His entire shtick is whatever Republicans do is bad. He actually posted he'll continue wearing a mask lest anyone think he's a Republican. And I was like, mask up, bitch. Do whatever you got to do. I don't care. I'm not going to think anything except you're an idiot after this is all over.
I've seen that same obnoxious comment on Reddit multiple times with 500 plus upvotes. So, there's plenty of people that are on their side, and they will mask up until the day they get put in the ground or burned in the incinerator, one of the two.
Well, if you see one of those, be sure and respond that you've talked to your Republican friends and they're perfectly fine with them masking up for the rest of their lives. It will make dating much easier. It will make knowing who to talk to at a party much easier. It would make life much easier. So if they could continue, that'd be great for us, because I'm not doing it. By the way, this said they just spent so much money giving out N95s. That's why they will probably extend it. Well, let me grab that soundbite that we grabbed earlier from today's Colorado Morning News, and let me grab the doctor who is speaking in this, lest you think I'm just being, let me pull that up, let's see here. Dr. Richard Zane was on the morning show this morning, and the whole interview is pretty milquetoast overall, but this one section kind of leapt out, and we grabbed this one little bite about N95 masks specifically. Go ahead, Antonius.
Are masks still relevant? We're talking about the mass distribution of the KN95 masks. I know they're a better mask. Is this better late than never to have these available now?
I think KN95 masks for the public are overkill in political theater.
Say it again. You think it's political theater?
Yeah. N95 masks are absolutely overkill, and they're political theater. N95 masks are very high filtration masks that are required in very specific conditions for healthcare workers when they're caring for people with tuberculosis and caring for people with COVID when they're having interventions like being intubated. I do not wear an N95 mask when I take care of COVID patients. It's not required. And N95 masks have to be very specifically fitted. They have to be a tight fit. So having an N95 mask mailed to your home will be uncomfortable, and it's absolutely overkill.
So you think the regular fabric masks, what we wore during Delta, is just fine to wear now?
Surgical masks are perfectly fine.
Now, I could argue about the surgical mask being effective. As a matter of fact, Ross and I were talking about this interview specifically, and he sent me a study from 2008, and I'd already read it. And I told Ross, I'm like, I've read every study that has been done in the last 30 years on whether masks are effective, a vast majority of which are done in a healthcare setting. It's why when they have a flu outbreak, they don't require doctors and nurses to wear a surgical mask when they go in to talk to patients, because they know it doesn't do anything on influenza-like illnesses that are airborne, and that is what coronavirus is. So the surgical mask, at best, has been demonstrated to show such a small amount of protection that if you want to wear one, knock yourself out, but I'm not going to bother, because it is so insignificant, and so much virus gets behind the mask because of the way they fit that it's insane. I mean, it's insane. Somebody just said we got to wait for the next variant with a scarier name than Omicron. Maybe we'll do that. Perhaps. So don't curse out people working at a children's museum. Don't be that person. Don't be that person on the airplane. Don't be that person. Be better than that. Challenge yourself to become a civil human being again, because that needs to happen. Let's see here. Do you know what knocked me over with a feather, Dave, on the blog today? Over with a feather. Aspen, Colorado parents showed up at the Aspen City Council meeting begging them to do anything to stop masking children in school. Did you hear where I said that happened? Aspen! Everybody's sick of it. Everybody thinks it's stupid.
They're still parents, and they still are human beings, and they have kids, and they love their kids, and they see what's happening to their kids, even in Aspen.
Well, listen to this. Morgan Worth, a mental health therapist in the Roaring Fork Valley, who works primarily with kids, families, and teenagers, said the impact of COVID-19 restrictions on children's mental health is concerning. This is a quote. The Aspen Hope Center has reported that in the 12 months of 2021, compared to the 12 months of 2019, there's a 130% increase in crisis evaluations for kids 11 and under. These are kids who are suicidal enough to warn a professional evaluating their risk for hospitalization within 24 hours. There's been a 64% increase for adolescents 12 to 18 and a 28% increase for adults ages 30 to 39, which is many parents in the Valley. So it is not a no big deal. It's not a what's your problem? Why don't you just put it on? It's having an effect that is significant and serious. And even parents in Aspen realize that this is government overreach. Dave, did you see the story? I didn't put it on the blog today about the thousands and thousands and thousands of Douglas County kids that have died of COVID since they did away with the mask mandate in schools. Wait, that's a lie. No. That didn't happen. There's not a story because it's not happening. If I lived in any other county that was still requiring masks on kids in schools, I would literally show up at every school board meeting and just point, look at Douglas County. Look at Douglas County. We're not dying. Don't get me wrong. Like we've had some outbreaks and substitutes are challenging, but ultimately they are not dying of COVID or even getting it seriously.
And it makes sense. 11 years old and under, these kids don't understand what's happening. They have no precedent for this. I'm sure their parents try to explain what's going on, but they're in, at that age, it's very difficult to understand what's happening to your world. And as you get older, well, you can understand it and the ramifications aren't quite as serious, still serious. Yes. But this is a terrible tragedy for young kids. Terrible.
It is. Let me grab one call before we take a break. Let me get Patrick. Hey, Patrick, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's happening?
Hey, so I just turned on the radio and I caught the tail end of the Children's Museum fiasco. I think the person that maybe is at the epicenter of why they closed is my ex-wife.
What did your ex-wife do?
I got a text message from her and I sent a message saying that she was calm. She has a three-year-old little girl, and they were trying to make her three-year-old put a mask on. And she is in the don't put a mask on my child business. So I want to know, like, what I guess I don't know what truly happened. I just got a text message from her.
Well, I don't think it was just her, because apparently this has happened with more than one individual. It wasn't just one thing. It was multiple people that behaved badly. So maybe it wasn't your ex-wife, Patrick, but she might not have helped in the grand scheme of things. I appreciate the phone call very much. Let me check in with David Kale, find out what's coming up in his news. What do you got for me, David? Oop. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought David was in there and I can't
I'm
see.
Here.
Oh,
I'm
here he is. There he is. All right.
Just
what's happening?
Got my one wind sprint in for the day. Thank you, Mandy.
I'm here for you. I'm here for your cardio.
I know you are. I appreciate that. Colorado may be turning the corner in our battle with Omicron, at least hitting a peak and starting to go down the other side. And the U.S. Supreme Court will have a vacancy this year. Those stories and more in the news coming up at 2 o'clock on KOA.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the third hour of the program. We're excited to be here. Dave's here, I'm here, Antonius is here. And don't forget to go look at the blog. I've made it easy, mandysblog.com. I'm telling you, I used to say that you'd be 13% smarter if you read the blog. I'm going to up it to 18%, Dave. I feel like we've been doing some seriously good work on the blog. Tons of cool news stories and stuff that you did not know if you did not see it on the blog. So check it out. By the way, the video of if fast food restaurants were people is so perfect. I can't even stand it. Taco Bell made me laugh hysterically. Did you watch this video yet, Dave?
Yeah, I did.
I'm just telling you, McDonald's has an attitude, okay? And Chick-fil-A's as nice in this video as they are in real life. Just letting you know. All right, now it is time for our weekly visit to the Book of Questions, where we ask a philosophical question, and usually it makes us look like horrible people, but we're going to do it again. Antonius, do you have the big wheel ready to go, my friend?
Yep, Antonius, it's all ready to go.
All right, hit the big wheel. Let's see where it lands on the Book of Questions. Oh, can you see that page number, Dave? What do you got?
Yes, I can. Wow, this is a big wheel. Number 225.
That's a lot of spaces on that wheel, yeah. 225.
A lot of wheel spaces.
What is our question for today?
Okay. Would you choose to escape death if you could do so by having your brain removed from your dying body, suspended in nutrients, and wired to sensors and controllers that will allow you to see, hear, and speak? Do you find this idea more horrifying or intriguing, and why?
Wasn't there a character in Futurama that was just a brain in a... What?
It was Nixon.
What? Yeah.
President Nixon. He was the head in the jar.
But this isn't even a head. You don't even get to keep your face. You just get your brain.
No, you know, just the brain. This was a short story by Roald Dahl years and years ago that was made into a TV show about a guy who developed this. And he didn't want to die. And he was a terrible person. He used to blow smoke in his wife's face all the time. And she hated him, but she lived with it. And finally, he died. And they kept his brain in this solution. And he could talk and all that. And they took him home after a while. And he was living there with his wife. And every day, she would walk up to it and blow smoke in it.
Just to get back at her husband. This is a hard pass for me. I have no interest in this whatsoever.
Yeah, I do.
You'd want to live in a jar?
I don't say I would do it, but I'd like to try it. Okay, I'm intrigued in the verbiage of the question. I'd like to try it for a month, and if I don't like it, pull the plug on me.
Yeah, but if I like it, pull the plug if they decide to keep you alive. You're stuck there.
Well, we'll make a contract beforehand that's binding.
Put a voice command
on. You can't enforce it, brain in a jar. You can't do anything.
No, brain in a jar, I can't do anything. But I'll depend on the kindness of others, I guess, in this case.
I'd like to try it.
If you're in that position of dying in a couple of days, your attitude might change a bit.
I hear you, but this sounds like a very similar existence to people who are quadriplegic, and I don't necessarily want that to happen to me either. And by the way, if you are quadriplegic, I'm not knocking on you. But for me personally, I don't know if I would want to go through that, especially if I was just a brain in a jar.
Quadriplegic is quite different, though. That you have physical challenges, terrible physical challenges. Here you have no perception of any physical challenge.
You got a jar.
Perfectly fine.
You're in a fishbowl.
So?
You're a goldfish.
So, I can think, I can read, I can talk, I can communicate.
That's not
a life. I can still be with my family.
In a jar.
What is the thing, your hang up with jars? You a jar bigot? What is that?
No, I just like, what are we going to, like if you wanted to get dressed for Christmas, we could put you in a Christmas jar. You know, I don't, this to me is
You're
not
You're looking
living.
On the dark side of all this. I'm looking on the bright side. I still exist, I think. And I can function to a certain degree.
Hard pass for me. I'm out.
I want to try it.
Dave wants to try Antonius.
Antonius.
I suppose I'm in the middle because
There's no middle here.
Well, no. I take Dave's interest in it. I'm intrigued by it, but it would also be a hard pass for me. So I'm intrigued by it like Dave is, but I'm going to pass on it like you would because in my current state of mind, when it's my time, it's my time. And there's a Dragon Ball Z movie called The World's Strongest where the evil villain was Dr. Wheelo, and he was a giant brain in a jar what soon became a giant robot. And, you know, that's a little bit of childhood trauma for me. I don't want to be a brain in a jar.
See, and here's the thing. I think that I view my life as opportunities to experience things, right? Like I take every opportunity to do something new, to have experiences, to feel the wind on my face, to feel the sun on my skin. And I just feel like that would be such a hollow version of living that I'm not sure it's an improvement.
Well, when you compare it to the alternative, I think it's terrific.
Well,
oblivion,
that's because you're not
a
believer. No, that's because you're not a believer, right? I mean, you know, I'm kind of with Antonius.
Well, if you're guaranteed a heaven because of your belief system, then of course you're going to reject this out of hand. Of course. How is this going to compare with heaven? Well, if you're not sure or you don't believe in that, this is an alternative for you.
I mean, yeah. I'm not a believer and I still wouldn't go through it. I'm curious as to what happens on the other side, even though I'm not a believer. Like, what's going to happen? And I mean, I'm not really afraid of it because I don't remember the billions of years that I wasn't here before I was born. So why would I be afraid about the billions of years that are possibly going to happen after I go?
Yeah,
it's not a question of being afraid of it. It's just that you have no guarantee of an existence that will continue.
I know, but I want to find out. I mean, I know there's no guarantee, but still, you know, take that chance, find out. I'm curious enough to go for it.
Here's the thing. If you're a believer and you believe there's an afterlife, whatever that looks like, by the way, it doesn't necessarily have to be heaven. For me and my belief structure, I don't necessarily think of the pearly gates and all that stuff. I don't think that that's how it happens. But because I believe that energy, according to physics, cannot completely go away. Like the stuff that makes us, our soul, our personality, I think that that energy gets reabsorbed into the universe, because it's all energy. Everything is energy, and energy doesn't stop. It just doesn't cease to exist, right? Physics says that. So I believe that something happens after I die, but if it doesn't, I'm dead. I'm not going to know. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's
well, you're willing to
is.
Take the big chance.
Yeah.
I'd rather not take the big chance. And what if there is a heaven and a hell and you're a bad person? This would delay the inevitable,
well,
you know?
I'm pretty clear that I'm not a great person all the time, but I do ask for forgiveness and hope that it's all going to be okay. That's the best we can do. Let me grab Melissa in Longmont. She wants to comment on this quickly. Hey, Melissa, what you got?
Hey, Mandy. So my first thought when I heard what this question was, oh, Dr. Fauci's probably already doing that in a lab somewhere.
You know what? You're not wrong. I bet there's going to be a Fauci floating head somewhere.
Yeah, and for me, it's a hard pass. I think when it's my time, just like Antonius. And I've gone through enough stuff that I don't think I'm going to be easy to kill, but when it happens, it's my time.
Which life are you on, Melissa? As far, you know, cats get nine lives. My husband says he's got to be on at least number 6 or 7 at this point in his life.
I think I'm probably up there, too. I'm almost 63, and I think I am a cat in human form. So I think I'm probably on at least 4 or 5, if not more.
All right. Well, we'll hope the last one's managed to get you through the next few decades, Melissa.
I don't like the idea of when it's my time, it's my time. That's because the current medicine and current technology make that necessary. But those things change. I mean, people used to have a lifespan of 35 years. Now we live to 80. they could have said, well, my time is my time. I don't care. But people kept working to increase the lifespan.
No, you're missing the
point.
This
is just another. That is the point.
When you say it, when it's my time, it doesn't mean if you get cancer, you're going to be like, well, it's my time. I'm not going to use any modern medicine. That's not it at all. But if you go through chemotherapy and radiation and your cancer's still there and you're going to die of cancer, what are you going to do about it? You just go, you know what? It's my time. My time has expired. I'm going to die.
But you have
of this
an
cancer.
Alternative here. You have an alternative. You don't have to suffer. To you,
no,
it's not. But to other people, including myself, it is. If I had cancer and I was suffering on chemo and all that, and they said, yeah, we'll just take your brain out. You won't have any pain anymore. You'll still be able to think, function on a certain level, talk, be with your family. That's a great alternative to me, and it's not my time.
No. Yes, Antonius.
Now, I have a bit of an alternative question based on, I believe it's something, or it's kind of similar to the metaverse, but what if this was a virtual thing as opposed to it being wires and everything? What if you were in like a virtual reality type
situation?
We've
talked about that. We've talked about that.
Would that change?
Here's for me why it doesn't, okay? Because you're a jar in a head or you're a digital whatever version of you. you never feel human contact again. You never feel someone touch your skin. You never have sex again. You never eat again. You never do any of the things that give us pleasure as human beings that require a body. Think about all the things that, I mean, I think about the things that I do. I love to walk. I love to hike. That's off the table. Yeah, you could carry my jar in a, you know, my head in a jar around outside.
What is this
but that's
jar
not the
thing
experience.
You have about this?
Because that's the visual I have, just a brain floating in fluid in a jar.
Well, I love music. I love music. I can listen to music. I love reading. I can continue to read. You have, you know, you're an active out there person. There are people who are not active out there people who get pleasures from other aspects of life, but you're going to deny this to them.
I'm not denying anything. I just think it's weird.
No, Mandy,
it is. Oh, it's weird. There's no question about that. The question is it desirable weird or undesirable weird?
For me, undesirable. Yes, Antonius.
Okay. If it's a virtual reality situation and your brain is like getting these signals sent to it, then technically, wouldn't you be able to feel the touch of another person or human contact
Probably.
Or all of those sensations that you were talking about earlier?
On the flip side of that, what about phantom pain? So you've left your body, but guess what? And my husband can attest to this as well. He got a finger shot off in Somalia, so he's missing a digit on one hand. He has phantom pain in that to this day. So it's been 20, almost 30 years since that finger was shot off, and some days he'll be grabbing his hand. I'll say, what's wrong? He's like, the phantom pain is getting me. So phantom pain is a real thing on the flip side of that.
Well, you're looking for reasons. Now, let's say, according to this question, you will have no phantom pain. It's simply your brain going into another place. You won't feel the fact that you don't have a body at all.
Nah, I'll hard pass. Hard pass.
I mean, I don't have a hard pass or a hard acceptance. I'm just curious. I'm intrigued. And I'd give it a shot.
To the texter on the text line. That asked if I'm a Ninja Turtles connoisseur, but yes, I'm familiar with Krang. Dave, are you basically willing to become Krang from the Ninja Turtles? You remember the brain in the jar?
No. I'm not familiar with
it. Oh, that's what
it.
I'm thinking of. Yes, that's exactly what, in a jar, a brain in a jar. And he was evil because he was so miserable. Being a brain in a jar, it made him evil. I'm telling you, this is a bad idea. Can Dave's brain hear without ears?
Your opinion is not disinterested. You are prejudiced against this idea.
I am totally.
And you will look for any excuse not to do it.
But I don't need to look for him. I got him. I just lay him out there one after the other because I got him. Let me grab Vito. He's got an answer. I can hardly wait to hear what Vito is bringing to the table on this one. All right, my friend. What do you got for me, Vito?
How you doing, Sugar Lips? If you look at Alzheimer's patients, when they lose hearing, they start to degenerate. So if you're not hearing something, you're lost. So, Dave, no music, no life, your brain's going to atrophy in the jar.
But wait, Vito.
You can hear, according to this.
You can see. They've wired it up to somehow give you fake ears and eyes.
You have sensors and controllers that let you see, hear, and speak.
Yeah. No, it ain't going to happen. They're going to give you a digital voice. Not vocal cords. You're gonna atrophy. The brain is only so much.
What is wrong with that? I don't see any problem.
Dave's already practicing.
Go through all the joking you do, but when you look at everything, because I've got, you know, Nona was in Alzheimer's, and it was sad to watch a lady who was so vibrant, so loving, sit there and just disappear. Her hearing went, the eyes went, and then it was gone, and then she was just trapped in her own skull. Dave. If there's nothing exciting about it, you'll be chasing yourself in a dark hole. Very simply.
Well, if it was the way you portrayed it, I would agree with you 100%. But the conditions.
I've seen the medical options on it, David. It's not like I'm doing this for my.
No, this is fantasy. This does not exist. There are no medical options here. We're just positing a possibility in the future.
So you're going to stay in a dark room, never move, never taste.
No, I'll put the lights on. We'll put the lights on.
You're not going to be able to sit there and feel the caress of a lover again. You're not going to be able to taste the great pizza.
I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's better than a dirt nap.
No. A 1,000 years of that, having to sit there and not feel anything, the insanity driving up.
Vito, you're breaking up on me, my friend, but I think your point is well taken. And that's kind of...
Of course you do.
Yeah, that's kind of how I just... This is one of those things. It's the same as... You could ask the question, would you want your head cryogenically frozen until such a time where you could have it reattached to another body and come back to life. That is appealing to me. Like that would be something that I would say, you know what? I would consider that because I'm still existing as a human being and able to experience the things that a human being experiences. This, they're essentially, they may as well upload you into the metaverse, you know, because you're not having the same experiences. And I just don't see how it could ever be the same. I just don't.
It wouldn't be the same, obviously, but it's better than the alternative. That's the only point I'm making.
Well, this from the Centauri Health text line, Mandy, to be a brain in a jar, I would need assurances regarding mobility. Don't want to just get stuck in a closet and that I can choose when it's over. So a kill switch, essentially.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. But then if you're just a brain in a jar, the kill switch there, like flip that switch. No, I'm not doing it. Brain in a jar and there's nothing you can do about it. I just don't like it.
We'll develop a system so that it'll be voice controlled only to my voice. And if I say, pull the plug, that's it. Nobody can control it but me.
Well, there you go.
Since we're making stuff up, that's what I make up.
Well, since it's a made up question, we can also make up answers and caveats to go along with it. I just can't see myself ever thinking that this was a great idea.
Well, you're a believer, and that's a big aspect of it, I think.
Yeah. And the whole jar thing, I don't feel good about that at all.
Forget about the jar.
Put a ribbon around it. Forget the jar. We could hang little ornaments off it. We could paint little hearts on the side with dry erase markers for Valentine's Day. Maybe this does have legs, Dave. Your head in a brain. I mean, in a jar. Yours, though, not mine. We're going to check in with David Kale, find out what is happening in his news. And we'll take your phone calls and read some text messages that are very funny when we get back. Just 56690 for the text line, 303-713-8585 to call. David Kale, what do you got for me?
Okay, Mandy, as you know, a possible camping ban in Aurora and whistleblowers protections for workers in Colorado. Those stories and more coming up in the news at 2:30 here on KOA.
All right. We are back, and you all want to weigh in on today's question of the day. Dave, if you could repeat the question of the day, we can go to the phones because they are lit up, and we have an excellent text message that I'll share in just a second. What is the question of the day?
Question of the day, would you choose to escape? I'm getting feedback on my voice here somewhere for some reason.
I just fixed it.
Okay. Okay, the question is, would you choose to escape death if you could do so by having your brain removed from your dying body, suspended in nutrients, or as Mandy would put it, put in a jar?
Yeah.
See, I would say a brain receptacle or container rather than a jar, but you can call it what you want.
Also known as a jar.
Suspended in nutrients and wired to sensors and controllers that will allow you to see, hear, and speak. Do you find this idea more horrifying or intriguing, and why?
Now, I'm a hard pass on this. Hard pass. I'm not even going to consider changing that. I'm a hard pass. This from the Centauri Health text line at 56690. This would be a great science fiction movie. Dave has his head in a jar. He's read, after a millennia, all the books that are out there, and he's listened to every symphony, and then unfortunately the 17,000 variant Omicron hits and all of humanity is wiped out, and there Dave sits with his head in the jar with no one to turn it off. How sad.
It sounds like a great Twilight Zone episode. Mm-hmm. And at the end you'd have Rod Serling coming in and he'd say, Dave Lauer is trapped in infinity forever in the Twilight Zone.
Let me grab some phone calls. Patty in Lakewood. Let me go to line four first. Hey, Patty, would you put your head in a jar or your brain rather? Are you going to brain jar it or are you just going to go check out?
Oh, heck no. You know, I'm trying really hard to be a good person, so hopefully I can get to heaven someday. So, yeah, hard pass. But I did think of a couple things that would be kind of cool. Like, okay, like when my brain was in the jar, if I could fart, I mean, that would be pretty cool to watch. And, you know, it's a little tiny vessel, so you could get like a pretty good weight going there.
Wait a minute. Are you actually asking if you can see an actual brain fart? Is that what we're talking about right now, Patty?
I didn't make that connection until you just did, but yeah, I guess so.
well done. I had not thought about the ability of your brain to actually fart, and so you could see the bubbles. So that there, Dave, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's not one of the things that will make me want to do this, but I guess it could happen.
Let me grab Mark on line two. Mark, hey, Mark, are you calling from Virginia?
I am.
How did you find the show?
iHeartRadio.
Excellent.
I'm from Colorado. I'm a long distance truck driver. I listen to KOA all day, every day.
You're awesome. You're the listener of the day, right there, Mark. So, what answer do you have for this very weird question?
Well, the way you're describing it makes it sound kind of horrifying. However, I'm kind of like Dave. I'm not a believer, and I suspect oblivion waits on the other side. So, I think anything is better than that. And how else am I going to last long enough to see the Colorado Rockies win the World Series?
And you can still listen to KOA 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Exactly
okay.
Right.
Okay, Mark, I'll put you and Dave in matching jars on the shelf, and you guys can
we'll be jar pals.
Yeah. You'll be best buddies. You'll be best jar friends. There you go. You guys can say, you want to come over to my jar for a while? And be like, yeah, I'll come over and hang out. And then you could all live in jars together. Let me grab EZ in Aurora. Oh, EZ has a good question. Hey, EZ, what's on your mind? Easy. Hello.
He also goes by Ez or Ezzy.
Ez,
so I don't know.
Ezzy. Sorry.
He might
Ez.
Be waiting on you to pronounce it right.
Ezzy, Ez.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, sorry about that. I went with the initials of EZ, but it's Ez. Okay, Ez. What is your question?
Well, the girls call me Easy. The guys call me Ez.
Anyway, oh, there you go. Okay.
The question is, since scientists say or psychologists say that the soul is considered man's emotion, is the emotion in the brain? And are you going to have the brain so when they put you back into another body, are you going to have your soul or not?
Well, I think as long as you're alive in some form, your soul remains. I mean, my belief system says as long as you are an alive, functioning person, not even functioning, like if you're in a coma, your soul is still there until you expire your last breath and your body dies. I think your soul exists. So I would say you keep your soul.
Okay. So that considers the brain, the soul, and the spirit are all connected into one entity.
I believe so. Yes. For the purposes of this fake conversation, yes, you are correct.
I see. Okay. Sounds good to me then. I'll take care of that one.
All right, so Ez is in a jar on the other side of you, Dave.
We've got another pal.
Yeah, you got another. You've almost
We're going to have a community.
Yeah, you'll have a community of people sitting on a shelf. Sounds awesome. In a way, though, Dave, don't you think that what you're saying, what you're talking about, sounds a little like the metaverse, right? Like, and the metaverse doesn't appeal to me either for the same reasons. And I don't know, maybe they would have to convince me that this was a living experience that was worth having, because right now it doesn't seem like it does to me, you know?
And that's why I would want to try it out. I'm not 100% embracing this idea, but I'm intrigued and I'd like to try it out.
Okay.
Of course, no, only when I'm facing imminent death, of course.
No one's going to stop you because, you know, I'm sure Annie, your daughter, would love to have you sit on the mantle.
Now, that's another aspect. What about your family? What about, let's say, a couple that's been married over 50 years? You know how when one dies within hours, the other one will die sometimes?
Sure.
What about you could continue in an aspect of your relationship? And what about if you just have a regular family that doesn't want you to go? Would that be part of your decision? Or it would just, I don't want to live like that. I don't care whether you miss me or not.
Oh, no. I mean, don't you kind of lay that out when you do your living will and your final wishes? I mean, I've already had this conversation with my husband of the ways I don't want to live, right?
But this ain't one on the list.
No, and I'll put it on the list. No head in a jar, okay? No brain in a jar. No, like, transferring me up to the digital universe.
Don't you believe that there, I mean, Chuck may not want it, but I'm sure there are family members around that would say, yeah, I don't want you to go. Stay, hang around.
If it's, no, no.
No one would say that?
No, maybe they would, but if I'm dying, and I don't think that would be satisfying for them or me. Like, for instance, if Chuck, is dying, and he comes to me and says, you know, I have the option of dying or being a brain in a jar, then that is
and
not
being
as
able to
fulfilling.
Speak and talk and still be with you in a certain way.
No, because I can't have any physical contact with the man. I can't.
But he's
I can't,
not
what am
gone
I gonna hug
completely.
The jar? What
no.
am I gonna? No, but that's not a full relationship. You know?
No, it's not. But it's better than none. What you prefer
know.
Is no relationship, and I would reject that.
I don't know. The text line lighting up: no eating, no drinking, and no sex. I'm out. So we're
no
talking,
dieting either.
So we're talking about a curmudgeon brain in a jar. There you go. What people are alive now who only have the use of their head? I don't want to do that either. You know, and that's not.
I kind of wish Einstein was still around, thinking about how the universe began.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, you know, Einstein isn't. So I don't know. This does bring a whole new meaning to the world. Jarhead. That's right. It does. It most certainly does. All right. Don't forget to check out everything that is on the blog. I have lots and lots of stuff, including a 38-minute video about the Ron Johnson 5.5-hour roundtable discussion with scientists and doctors about COVID and the response of governments. It's very interesting. And, Dave, we didn't get to the whole the you're going to die story. So if you are over the age of 60 and doing housework or walking for 30 minutes exhausts you, I have bad news. You're almost three times as likely to die in the next 3 years as people who are more physically fit. If that doesn't inspire you to get off your tuchus and go for a walk, I can't help you. And I hope your family's ready for your funeral in 3 years. I'm
seeing a jar, I don't have to worry about that.
Yep, because you don't have anybody to work or
exactly.
experience life in. Just saying. Check out the blog. Let's see, tomorrow. Oh, Brandon came earlier today because he knows it's time. I was kind of vamping until Brandon showed up this today because he showed up late yesterday, and that was a little bit of a debacle. But he's here now, so now it's time for the most exciting segment on the radio of its kind in the world of the day. What if it were a Marine's jar or head in a jar? A jar head in a jar, Dave? Oh, get on Zoom. Because Brandon's here. We're going to play out the day. No, I just...
Okay. Yeah, that would be cool.
No.
Jar head in a jar.
Yeah. Mandy, I've been married for almost 40 years. I don't want to talk to his disembodied brain. So there you go. And that's kind
of
how
there's
I
a
feel.
Survey of one. Boy, that convinced me. I changed my mind.
How about this? Someone says, I like having boobs. So you can't argue with that, Dave. There's no boobs for a brain in a jar. None.
What if you have lousy boobs and you want to get rid of them?
You know.
Okay.
Anyway, let's
moving
talk
right
about,
along.
Yes, what is our word of the day, please?
I think this is one we've had before, and this will be a good test to see if you actually listen.
Okay.
Okay. This one is a verb, and it is nictate, N-I-C-T-A-T-E, to nictate. What is that? From the Latin.
Nictate. I'll try.
Go ahead, Antonio.
To okay. give a command through like written text.
Oh.
Like it's like to, notation.
A written command.
Dictate. Yeah, a written
that
command.
That would make sense, but it's not the definition.
We have had this before, and I don't remember what it was.
Aha. Anyone? No?
Brandon, anything? Yeah. Okay, what's nictate mean?
It's pretty simple. To blink.
Oh, and that's why I didn't remember it, because that's a dumb word for blink. All right. white chocolate isn't technically real chocolate. Why not? I know the answer to this one. Anyone know?
It doesn't actually contain cocoa, correct?
It doesn't contain... It contains cocoa butter, but it doesn't contain actual cocoa. So
yeah.
The cocoa solids
give it a
are
pass.
What define chocolate.
I'm going to give it a pass.
Yeah, I don't like chocolate. I don't
I
like
love,
white chocolate.
I love white chocolate.
Oh, I don't like it. Ew, I don't like it.
Especially in world-class chocolate
yeah,
from
like,
Baskin-Robbins.
It's like candy corn of the chocolate world is white chocolate.
Which is
anyway,
excellent. I love
no,
candy corn.
It's fake. It's not real. What is our Jeopardy category, Dave?
Okay, the category for today is... Let's see, which one is it? They left their mark at Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Oh, okay. Famous people.
Okay.
You know where that, you know,
oh,
that
yeah.
in Hollywood where you,
yeah.
you put your handprints in and all that stuff if you're a big star. So here we go. This little robot left its wheel marks instead of footprints.
I think I know the robot, and I can't remember its name.
What robot do you think it is? And I'll tell you the name, and I'll give you half credit.
It is the little robot. Oh, gosh, wait a minute. Let me see. I can't remember.
Oh, Brandon.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Brandon.
Who is R2-D2?
You got it.
Dang it.
I was in
the
robot short circuit. All
I could remember was 3CPO, and I knew that was wrong because he didn't have wheels. Well, dang it.
C3PO.
Yeah.
C3PO.
Okay, next one. This singing cowboy left his footprints, Brandon. His horse trick.
Brandon.
Brandon.
Oh, who is Gene Autry?
Wrong. This singing cowboy left his footprints, his horse Trigger's footprints, and an impression of his six gun, too.
Mandy, who is Roy Rogers?
You are Roy correct. 1-1.
No, I lost one, didn't I?
Okay, this World War II pinup girl also left an imprint of one of her $1 million legs.
Mandy, who is Betty Grable?
You are correct. 2-1. The two famous comedians' noses that made impressions.
Noses.
Yes.
I think I know one of them, but I don't think I know. Are they a comedy team?
If you get one, I'll give you half credit.
Mandy, who is Jimmy Durante?
That is half.
Okay.
Anyone else for the other half? No?
Brandon, who's Groucho Marx?
Nope. Who is Ski Nose Bob Hope?
Oh, wow. I didn't realize his nose was such a big deal. Okay. So
well,
I have two and a half.
It was the Bing Crosby anyway.
Yeah, I have two and a half.
The last one.
Zero.
An imprint of the horn-rimmed glasses of this silent film star is next to his footprints.
Brandon. Is Charlie Chaplin?
Nope.
Oh, he didn't wear glasses.
I don't know who this silent film star with big glasses.
Who is Harold Lloyd?
Never heard of him. So
did
there
Mark
you go.
Movies.
All right. So
before
I won.
Before my time.
Two and a half. To -1 to 0, Antonius wisely stayed out when he did not know the answers. Brandon, not so much.
Never, I was trying to play catch up.
Never let it be said that Brandon is not a baller at this game and is not afraid to throw himself out there at the risk of Larry rules putting him into the negative. So there you go.
Fortune favors the bold.
There you go. Speaking of the bold KOA Sports Zoo coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow, and tomorrow we're going to talk to Jennifer Schubert Aiken about a very good event about climate change coming up very soon. She's with the Steamboat Institute. So stay tuned for that tomorrow, and keep it right here on KOA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.